Hello, everyone. You're listening to the Live Your Raw Life podcast. Welcome to the platform where the intention is to help you live your rich, authentically aligned, wholesome life. I'm your host, Rachel Ann Watkins. Together, let's raise our vibrations and awareness in order for you to live the raw life that was meant for you. Hello, and welcome back to a new episode of the Live Your Raw Life podcast. This is episode 6 in our mini series. And last week I talked about energies that are surrounding us. And it is the perfect segue into this week's conversation, which is all about relationships. Currently, I am sitting at our kitchen table. In our camper, my husband Isaac is out scouting for his upcoming hunting trip that's happening next week. He has one of his really, really good friends coming out from Minnesota, and they are going to go hunting. And so he is out trying to find the best spot to go for that trip. And my boys, I have decided to let them go to the Glenwood Hot Springs today. So they are swimming in the minerals as we speak today. And I have some quiet alone time in the camper, which is so rare, but I am loving it. So this week I want to talk about relationships. I absolutely love and 100% value all of my relationships. We are social beings, in fact, and a large part of my life, I have really just wanted to be a part of as many relationships as possible. And on top of that, I always was searching for being accepted by whoever it was that I was hoping to be in a relationship with. I have now realized that my wanting of the need to be accepted compromised who I really am at my core. I was not allowing myself to be me when I was with other people. I was taking on this persona of who I thought they wanted me to be. And I now realize what a destructive behavior this was. I really just was looking to be accepted and to be loved. And what others thought of me and how I was perceived by others actually ended up taking a front seat as opposed to what I thought and felt about myself. And a big realization that I've come to through my healing journey, which is what this whole series is about, this Aligning to Your Life's Purpose mini series, is that how we feel about ourselves is what truly matters the most. If we can honestly and truly love ourselves with all that we are, the shadow side of ourselves, the things that we love most about ourselves, then we are going to be able to truly love and accept others. And it was like this huge realization, this ginormous epiphany that when I realized it, it made so much sense. And I'm going to chat a little bit about today how I found my way to this realization in hopes that you too, if you're not there where you're 100% loving of yourself in all that you are, the good, the bad, the ugly, then hopefully some of these resources will be of use to you so that you can find that love for yourself, because it is so essential. What I realized is I didn't accept myself, and I thought that people wanted me to be a certain way, so that was how I acted. And it was exhausting because I had to put on a different act for different people that I was around. And that was really hard, and it was really frustrating. And I now have decided. I have made a conscious effort to be unapologetically me. And it's interesting, the people that have stuck around and continue to be in my life and encourage me and show me love and care and compassion, they are the ones that really should be around because they accept me for who I am. And it should be the same for you. It's so unbelievably true. So growing up, and this is, of course, unless you had the most perfect upbringing, we learn to adapt certain defense mechanisms. And a lot of times, we're not even aware of the defense mechanisms that we've created for ourselves. It's just become second nature for us to use them. And what ends up happening then is it's these stories that we tell ourselves. Now, I've talked on the podcast a number of times how I work with an intuitive. That's my name for her. She calls herself something else. I call her my intuitive because that's how it feels for me. She told me during one of my sessions that if I hadn't created the defense mechanisms that I did, I would have been a puddle just because of certain aspects of my childhood and my upbringing. And again, it is no fault of anybody. When you are growing up, you have to understand that your parents are doing the very best that they can with what they know and with what they have. And our parents carry their own trauma. And as a child, no, it's not easy to understand that or to see that or witness that. But as an adult, and you, when you begin the healing journey, a lot of the situations that we're needing to heal from do ultimately stem back from our childhood. So I think that it's really important to say that. Unfortunately, this is where the series, this little mini series, is going to get a little hard. It's a little hard for me to talk about. It's a little sad. It's actually a lot sad. It's frustrating. And for me, it's been ultra confusing. And I'm not here to air any of my dirty laundry. I just think it's important to share broadly some things in order for you all to understand why the healing journey for me was so necessary and possibly why it might be so necessary for you as well. So I realized that, you know, I was compromising my true self at the expense of others because I was wanting their love and their acceptance so badly. And then I had some of these really hard decisions to make. And it's kind of led me to where I'm at right now. And I'm not through to the other side. I'm still kind of trudging through the muck of it all, but feeling lighter about it. Definitely feeling lighter about it all, for sure. So the first time I went and saw my intuitive, her name is Francesca. I'm so excited. She is going to be on the show. She is a godsend to me. I was with a couple girlfriends. We were headed over to Fruta, Colorado for a trail race. And my girlfriend had shared this beautiful story of her experience that she had when she met with Francesca. And I was the whole time like jaw on the ground, like, oh my gosh, I want to remember this whole entire conversation. And I remember thinking, I need to get this woman's contact number because I need to see her. So she shared her contact information with me, and I went and went home after that weekend, and my sisters were living with us at the time, and I was telling them about this woman, and they were like, I want to go see her. And I was like, yeah, seriously, me too. So I decided to go, and initially it felt like I was supporting my sister going to see her. And then once I got into my session, I realized I was going to see her because, like I talked about last week, the energies that were surrounding me definitely pulled me to go and meet Francesca. So my sister was like, should I go first or do you want to go first? And I was like, I can go first. That's fine. So I went first. And you go into this room if you have an in-person session with her. She also does remote sessions, and she'll talk all about that on the podcast when she is on. You can look for that episode coming out in December. But I had to say my name, and then she kind of explained how she sees things and how she's able to acquire her information that comes through during her sessions. So it all made sense to me because it's all about energy and how energy kind of comes through, and she works with the light. And I kind of had this, like, I'm just here to support my sister attitude. And she goes, what brought you in today? And I said, I don't really know. I think I'm actually pretty good, because this was a year into us moving to Colorado. I was hopeful that things were going to kind of shift and change with my job. And so that wasn't really like anything I needed to talk about. And then she kind of did a scan, is what she calls it. And she said, which parent would you like to talk about first? And I was like, oh, fuck. And there it is. So we started diving into the relationships that I had with both of my parents. And I shared a while back that my parents divorced at a very young age, and it was just a little interesting. I don't even know if there is a typical upbringing, but it was just different, I felt. And so we started to talk about that a little bit, and it really propelled me into diving a little bit deeper into some of the components of those relationships and what was serving me and possibly what wasn't serving me. I have had numerous sessions with Francesca, but the most profound experience that I ever had was when I went to one of her classes that she offers. Here's kind of what happened. I had a session with her in, I believe it was November, and during our session, she asked if I had seen her email for her upcoming class in March called Power of the Tribe. And I said, yes, I did see it. And she said, I think you would really benefit from that class. You might want to consider going. And I was like, okay. And I just kind of put it in the back of my mind. A few months later, an email came through that was advertising the class. And whenever I have an email that I need to attend to, but I've read it, I mark it as unread so that I remember to go back and deal with whatever the email is. So this email lived unread in my mailbox for weeks. Then one morning, I received a text, and it was from Francesca, and she said, Rachel, you came up during my meditation this morning, and I really feel the Power of the Tribe class would really benefit you. And I was like, okay, that's three times this class has now come up. I have to go. And I mentioned this actually part of this story, that kind of like the very end of it, back in my episode with Jason Benade. What happened was, it's all about how we all have a seat at the table with our family, and we all belong. I signed up for the class, and then it came, and it was on March 1st of this year. And I, you know, got some emails, like some things we needed to bring. I needed to bring an item and a photo of my parents. So one item and one photo that represented my mother, and one item and one photo that represented my father. And we walked into the room where the class was being held, and there was a mother table and a father's table, and there were probably about 20 other people in the space. And I put my item and my picture down, and then I took my spot, and Francesca did this beautiful job of explaining exactly what she does and how she really sees people when she works with them. And it was really enlightening to see, because I had been working with her for years now and, you know, had an idea, but this just made it a little bit more clearer. And then she started to explain how we are the fabric of our parents. And there were a number of activities that we did that day, But there were three really big things that happened. The first thing that happened was we had to go and get our items off of the table. So I had to go get my items from the back tables and bring them to my space. And we put our mother's item and photo on our left side and our father's photo and item on our right side. And then she kind of walked us through this like little meditation, and we then had to turn to our mother and we had to connect with her energy. And I connected instantly with my mother's energy, and I felt like this swirling ball that was kind of like bouncing back and forth from her energy to mine at my belly button. And it was so full of love. It was so beautiful. And it just felt so genuine and sweet and kind. And then we had to do the same thing on our father's side. And Francesca walked us through all of this. And when I got to my father's side, you know, doing the same thing, connecting with their love and their energy, all of a sudden, my throat started to close up and I couldn't feel anything except for pain. Like it was painful in my throat. It felt like I was suffocating and it was horrible. And I just kept thinking like, why is this happening? Why is this happening? And then we went on with the class and I just kind of was sitting with this like, what was that? What was going on there? Why did this happen? And then we had another activity where we were in the back of the room and we had to put some things on the floor that represented our parents. And then we had to do some things. And I turned around and Francesca asked us to imagine that our parents were putting their hands on our shoulders. And I just bawled. I sobbed. And I'm like a private crier. So I was trying not to be noticed that I was crying. And when I was doing this, it was really powerful. And it felt like this huge release. Like I was releasing the shit, I guess is probably a good way to put it. So then we got to the end of the class and Francesca opened it up for some Q&A, and I had a question in regards to like, why in the world did my throat feel like it was closing up? It didn't make any sense. I was super confused. I didn't understand what was going on. And I don't like to ask questions like that in an environment that's set up that way because I don't want it to be a personal reading. But I definitely felt like I needed to know. So I thought, well, maybe I'll just ask her at the end. I'll go up and talk to her. And then she kind of looked at me like, I can tell you have a question. And so I was like, okay. So I raised my hand and I asked. And she said, today in the class, we talked about what happens when you, as the child, reject your parents. But we haven't talked about when your parents reject you, when their energy rejects you. And that's what happened. And it was just like, oh my gosh, that's crazy. And some of the history there leads me to believe that that is very true. Then after this happened, there was one more person that raised her hand in front of me and she asked her question. And Francesca, in order to answer it, had called up two participants from the class. And she said, okay, you're my mother and you're my father. And she said she was just giving some examples of various things you could do in the different in that specific activity that she had us do. And then when she turned her back to who was pretending to be her parents, she asked them, you know, put your hand on my shoulder. And when they did that, Francesca just started weeping. She was sobbing. Her shoulders were shaking and it made me cry. I was back exactly how I was feeling when I was in the back of the room and I had been crying and sobbing because it felt like it was connected to me in some way. And then at the end of the class, everything was done. Everyone was done with their questions. And I had walked some items up to her that we had used. And she gave me a hug and she said, "Oh, Rachel, that power, that was for you." And I said, "I know. I felt it." And it has been like this huge shift for me. I've been able to really start loving myself in ways that I haven't been able to before. It was absolutely incredible. The gift that Francesca has is remarkable. Absolutely remarkable. Then I discovered this woman on Instagram, and her handle is The Holistic Psychologist, Dr. Nicole. And every single post that she would have out there was like, holy shit, yes. And I felt like, oh my God, I'm not alone in this. There are other people out there that struggle with their parents. And I think that it's important to kind of backstory this with, you know, in a lot of different parts of our nation, family is everything. And trust me, my children and my husband, family is everything. But if they're not supporting you, if it's abusive or there's neglect or there's hurt or they're causing you shame and guilt, then I think that that relationship definitely needs to be evaluated for your own safety and sake of moving forward in a positive direction. But a lot of times, you know, I hear people in the Midwest, obviously being from Minnesota, I could never move. My family's all here. And while, yes, I do understand that, for me, it was like, but if Minnesota or wherever it is I'm living isn't serving my soul, why am I staying here? I felt like I needed to be in a different place, and Colorado has been calling me for years and years. And so it wasn't like this deep-rooted tie, because we didn't live super close to any of our families. We were about 2 hours, 2.5 hours away from all of our parents from where we lived in Minnesota. And so for me, it was just kind of like, yes, I understand family is everything, but also this is my one life in this lifetime. And this is my experience. And I definitely need to make it what it needs to be for me to learn and to learn the most lessons in order for me to move on to the next level or the next lifetime, and to also, you know, live my experience. So as I'm reading all of these posts from The Holistic Psychologist, it was like someone was giving me permission to feel what I had been feeling. And also, I felt like I was given permission to do what I needed to do to heal and care for myself, and that I needed to put some serious boundaries in place. And boundaries are hard. They're hard no matter your age. And when I put these boundaries down with my family, not only was there a boundary, but my behavior had completely shifted and changed as well. And so it was these things that I was saying and doing that my family was like, what? Like, she's never acted like this. Clearly she's on drugs or she's gone off the deep end. Like, she needs some help, whatever. And it was like, no, I have to have these boundaries down because these are healthy, because I have been moving in this direction of this unhealthy way of being in these relationships, and it's not serving me. So I put these boundaries down, and they were not met with much acceptance. And I had some really big struggles come after that happened. And currently now where I'm at is I'm actually not on speaking terms with any of my family. And it's really, really sad because I think of them all the time. I only wish the best for them. I love them dearly. I do. I love them so dearly. They have taught me so much. I love being able to laugh and joke with them. However, I just think that it's possible. I don't know. This is my assumption that who I am becoming and who I am now doesn't align with where they are. And so, therefore, these relationships need like a little break. And I hold on to a little bit of hope that someday these relationships will be able to be remedied and that we can have really mature and accepting and high level conversations in order for all of us to heal and move forward in a positive direction. And I've said that to my family members, and it wasn't necessarily met with, yes, let's do that. It was a lot of, well, we need to talk about the past first. And we have already talked about the past. We've already discussed all these things, and I'd like to move forward, and I want to move forward in a positive direction. And it's just really, really hard to be able to do that. Now, when it comes to relationships, that's just one kind of bucket of relationships, right? Is this immediate family. And then we have like the relationships of marriage. And Isaac and I just celebrated our 18th wedding anniversary this year. Whoop whoop. And I can tell you, no, marriage isn't easy. It's not supposed to be easy. Relationships aren't easy. You have to work on them. You have to foster them. You have to nourish them so that they can grow and evolve. My personal opinion is that when marriages go awry, it's because people are not evolving and growing together. And there's a whole multitude of reasons why I think this could happen. Potentially, children. I know for us, when kids kind of came into the mix, it's, I talked about how Isaac and I brought Zeke home, our oldest, and we kind of just put him on the floor in his car seat, like, well, what do we do now? And we take on these different roles. And I've bonded with this child for 9 months. And Isaac was very disconnected from that, obviously, because he was not the one carrying this human in his body. And so we've already, Seek and I already developed this relationship, and they need so much attention. So much attention goes on to the child, and then it's taken away from the relationship of the marriage, and that can cause some issues, in my opinion, and just based on some personal friends that I've talked with and heard stories from. But some other things are like, that communication is so huge. And in fact, Isaac and I, for the first 3 years of our marriage, we actually joke all the time that the reason why we made it through those first 3 years is because we were just drunk the whole time. I was in college and he was working construction, and it's just what we did when he would come home for the weekends. And then we had Zeke, and so then it was like, bam, family. And communication was hard, and we had to figure out, like, I had some needs that needed to be met in regards to communication, and he wasn't forthcoming about what his needs were, so I didn't know. And eventually we were able to finally get to a point after some really hard, challenging months, maybe even years, where he finally got it. And now we talk about everything all the time. I mean, as much as we can. Life is still happening around us, and we don't always get to sit down at the end of the day and share our deepest, darkest yearnings and thoughts, but we do make it a priority to go for long walks together, especially at night. That's been one thing that we've been doing since we've been here in the camper, is we'll take the dog and we go for about a 3-4 mile walk, and we just, it's dark out, but it's so beautiful, and we just chat and catch up. And it's really great because we're able to bounce ideas off of each other, but then we're also able to talk about some really important things, and we are alone. So we don't have the children interrupting us or hearing some of the things that we have to say. Because sometimes, you know, you're like, it can get, sometimes it can get heated, sometimes it can get pissy. And CJ, our youngest, that kind of communication between Isaac and I makes him a little nervous. He really wants to make sure Isaac and I are always good. And it's hard to, for a 9 or an 11-year-old to understand that even though we're having this disagreement or this conversation, it feels like voices are raised and there's some tension, we're still good. And yeah, so, you know, there's the marriage relationship, and it's all, the communication is essential. And we had so many people write on, we had this photo with this white mat around it on our wedding day, and or our wedding reception. We had like a little reception a few months after our wedding, just so we could, there were lots of family members that actually hadn't even met Isaac because we did get married so quickly. And they would write, communicate, you need to talk about everything. And at 23 years old, you're like, well, we hang out all the time. Like, we talk all the time. But then when we needed to talk about the serious things, that's when I really understood what they were saying. So, you know, that relationship in the marriage is, it's hard, and sometimes it just doesn't work, and it's no fault of either person. It's just not a good fit. And when you can recognize that and you can move on, I have some friends who just recently got divorced, and they had such a respectful separation and divorce. Not that it was easy. I know that for sure, but it was so respectful, and it was like very remarkable to watch. And they communicate really well still. They still, you know, they have children, and so working through some of the things that come up with the kids, and it's just really great. But then I've also seen people get divorced where it's really nasty, and it's hard, and it's hurtful, and yeah, it's just, you have to work with other people's trauma and other people's baggage, and that really can determine if you can handle it really well. It'll determine how, you know, however you handle that, their baggage and their trauma is going to determine the relationship and, you know, where it leads, if it leads to continue as a relationship or if it kind of falls apart. And then there's a relationship with friends, and this was really big for me. I love all of my friends. I have friends far and wide, and I just value and cherish the friends that I have because they are just so fucking bitchin' people. Like, we have some really cool friends, and they all add various components to our life. And that's the thing, just like a marriage, friendships take work as well, and you have to foster them. And so I had someone say to me the other day, you're so good about reaching out. And I'm like, oh gosh, I feel like I'm horrible. Like, I'll think of someone and I'll be like, I gotta send them a text, but I'll be like driving, so obviously I don't want to text and drive, or I'll be in the middle of something, or like I'm doing the dishes and my hands are all wet, or whatever the case is. And I'm like, I have to text them. So if I'm in a spot where I'm like, oh, yes, I have to send that person a text just to say hi, I will. But I think about all of my friends all the time and just wonder how they're doing and how they're feeling and, you know, the richness that they bring to my life. And there's been some friendships that have ended not so pleasantly. And I had to deal with that, and I had to work through that. And what I found and what I discovered through all of it was the relationships that we're in are a direct mirror of the relationship we have with ourselves. So if you can look in the mirror and you can find all the beautiful things about yourself. And I talked about mirror work way back in one of the beginning episodes of this podcast. If you can do that truthfully and honestly, then those are the things that you are going to see in the people you have relationships with. And that is going to be the basis, the foundation of that relationship. And it can be so beautiful and so positive. But if you look in the mirror and you're constantly judging yourself, then that's the kind of attitude and person that you're going to show up to in those relationships. You're going to be judging them. And it's not necessarily it's not because you're judging them in a negative way. It's just because that's how you feel about yourself. Like, if I look in the mirror, I'm like, my ass is fat. I got my complexion, you know, I've had mask of pregnancy. And so I have all these sunspots and I have some mask of pregnancy left. And that's what I focus on. Then I'm going to go and I'm going to look for all the things that I can nitpick about the people I'm in relationships with. Well, that's not fair. And that's not a fun place to be either. So I have had this huge shift through the work that I've done with Francesca, through the encouragement and the beautiful words that I've seen from Dr. Nicole, the holistic psychologist, who I'm so excited to announce. Dr. Nicole has agreed to be on the Live Your Raw Life podcast. I am so stoked. She has a book coming out in the near future, and she's finishing that up, and then I'm going to be able to get her on for her interview. It's going to be so healing. I just feel it's going to continue to allow not only me to heal, but hopefully help all of you that are dealing with something similar to heal as well. But if we can look at all of these people, you know, or look at ourselves from this lens of what is beautiful and what is positive, that's the angle and the scope we're going to take when we're looking at our friendships and the people that we are in relationships with. I now see the positive in everyone. I don't look for the negative. I don't look for the judgment, because who is that serving? It's not serving me. It's not serving them, and it's not serving us. So it is a significant mind shift for sure that I had to go through. But man, I got to tell you, listeners, I came out on the other side of that with such amazing epiphanies. And I can feel my vibration and my energy just level the fuck up by that one mind shift alone. It's absolutely incredible. And I highly encourage you to start doing the same if that's something that you are in need of. So relationships, they are just so important. Remember, like I said at the start, we're social beings. We need to have these relationships. And especially now with Corona, I'm sure many of you have had some time to think about, you know, what relationships you want to maintain and what ones you want to foster. And maybe you don't know how to move past the ones that are not serving you in a positive way. Well, here are some really amazing resources for you. Look for Francesca and maybe start following the holistic psychologist and look for her book and just find resources that you can use to help start turning that corner so that you can A, stand up for yourself, set healthy boundaries, so that you can B, start looking at your relationships from a positive mindset, and C, continue to foster them then from that positive lens. It is fucking life-changing. Game changer. You know, I mentioned back in episode 15 when I spoke about Bearheart and that book that I read and how powerful that was for me. And I just want to repeat the quote to end this episode today in what Bearheart said in that book. He wrote, and I quote, "As a child, I was taught, Chaban, the way to attain the beauty in life is through harmony. Be in harmony with all things, but most important, be in harmony with yourself first. A lot will go on in our life, some good, some bad. People may argue and some may try to take control of your life, but that one word, harmony, will neutralize any problems and help your life to become beautiful. End quote. I'd like to thank you for tuning in to this week's podcast. Thank you for your energy and your motivation to improve your quality of life. Heal yourself, heal the world. It's always an adventure. Adventure awaits. If something in this episode or past episodes resonated with you or you are enjoying them, please subscribe. Leave a review, write a comment on the podcast wherever you get your podcasts so that the platform and the show can reach a wider range of listeners in order for others to help themselves. Because, as I just said, when you heal yourself, you heal the world. Your support is so greatly appreciated. I hope you have a beautiful week, and we will see you next week, Thursday.